Good morning and happy Sabbath to all of you. Heavenly Father, once more we're coming before you to ask you for your wisdom and for your guidance and for the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us during this study of your word. Be with us and may every word what we are studying be acceptable by us and help us in order to live according to your will. That's our desire, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are familiar that the Bible speaks, or we can find several different kind of laws in the Bible. We are familiar with the moral law, which is Ten Commandments. But there is a few other laws in the Bible mentioned. Have you noticed that? Would you like to mention one of the others? Pardon? Ceremonial law. Yes, there is a ceremonial law in the Bible, which, you know, especially in the Old Testament, speaks about the ceremonies, how to handle things in the sanctuary, preparing the sacrifice, and many of them, unfortunately, they finish when Jesus, you know, they find fulfillment. Okay, is any other law? Yes, sabbatical, that means it's all these 7 years or 50 years or something like that can be other law. Civil law, health law, yes, there is a health law, how to keep, you know, the balance, things. That's right. But there is one which I find in the scripture. We are not talking too much about that, but there is a law. Maybe you all agree or disagree, you have a right, no problem. Which it's present in the Bible. It's something which it's very much it apply to all of us, whether we like it or not. It's a law of life. You will see that. I would like to encourage you to open Galatians chapter 6. There is one law here mentioned. Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 8. Okay, Galatians chapter 6. Not long time ago, we studied the book of the epistle of Galatians, but let's see what Paul says here. He said, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows into his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." I would like to add the title of that text. That's the law of consequences. Law of consequences. Something which action and reaction. Physical. That's right. Yes. Cause and effect. It's a natural law, but it's a spiritual as well. Because it's applied firstly now of earthly life, but also there is a spiritual dimension, very important. Because we are not just physical for this earth. We got spiritual dimension as well. The Bible speaks about our life on this earth, but also speaks about this life. It's a preparation for something better. And we have to accept the rules of heaven on this earth and to be ready. Otherwise, it's not going to change overnight everything. We have to move to that stage even here on this earth. That if you're searching for the truth, you will acknowledge that every action has consequences. Every action in our world, you know, has the consequences. Amazingly, millions of people stumble through life ignorant of this law, making the same mistakes over and over. They never get the connection between what they do and what results. Others are aware of it, yet think it doesn't apply to them. Says, "No, I can live, I can do whatever I like. I'm in control." How much we are really in control? Or sometimes circumstances are controlling us. This law applies to all of us, whether we like it or not. It's often called the law of cause and effect, and the Bible describes that a man reaps what he sows. You reap what you sow. Interestingly, the Bible, this text starts with a word, with the word, "Do not be deceived." Paul, like he had something in, he knew that people can be deceived, thinking differently. You know, Paul is calling on the misguided Galatians to stop being deceived by others, then somehow in the future, our bad choices or bad decisions will be transformed in something good. Do you believe that still some people are, even today, believing that, you know, doesn't matter what they are doing now, and something will happen overnight, and in the morning everything will be changed. Even Christians are believing that. Many things will be changed. When we come to Lord Jesus Christ, when we experience repentance, we experience forgiveness, many things will be changed, definitely. But many consequences, we have to harvest them in our life. Many believe when they come to Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross, He is taking away all the consequences of our life as well. Okay, He's taking consequences from the second death when we accept Jesus Christ. We don't need to die second time. But many earthly consequences are still we have to experience. Unfortunately, that's a law of life. For that reason, Paul says, do not be deceived. What man or God is not mocked. If we are thinking opposite to that, we are mocking God. We are playing game with Him. Whatever a man sows, that will also reap. And further Paul explained what we will come later. What does it mean to see to sow the plants into the flesh and sowing in the spirit? That's a big difference. In you know, sometimes we can. Ask God for forgiveness, God will forgive us the sin. But sometimes the consequences of the sin, we have to experience them. You know, a month ago when I was here for the recipe club, about 8:30 I left. You know, there is a, after Salvation Army, that street, there is a roundabout, goes right. And I just passed the roundabout, I saw the light of the police car behind me. I said, what have I done? You know, I have the belt and everything. I was not driving here too fast, but he stopped me. He said, have you seen the sign? I said, what sign? Says you were driving 52. You're supposed to drive 40. I said, 40 now, 8:30. It's a your school zone. It's not school zone here. Yeah, this. But there is a sign 40 here. It's not for the school zone. There is a hotel or restaurant or something there which more people are during the night frequently. For that reason, there is a sign 40 there. I said, I know that's 50 inside of the town. If I was driving 52, maybe 2, 3, you can manage somehow. Usually you can. He said, yeah, but this is because of that. You're not of, you should watch better. I tried to apologize, but still he fined me with $153 and won the merit point. I just paid yesterday because the expire was the 7th of August. I didn't want to break. I'm just saying, you can be nice, you can be good, but the consequences I have to pay. He was smiling, policeman, he was very nice. He didn't give me straight away the fine, but 5 days later, I find in my mailbox. You know, consequences sometimes are not sweet, can be bitter. But this is a life. Even you try sometimes, you think that you try your best, but sometimes they're not good enough for things. Okay, In Proverbs chapter 1:31 says, Solomon said, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Eat the fruit of their own way. That's a law of life. First, I have to say, we cannot escape the consequences of our actions. Often you reap more than you sow. You know that you planted one grain of wheat into the soil. That one grain will bring 50 grains in a stall of wheat. You can see, it's not just the consequences are coming as once, but it's sometimes multiplying. That's a scary thought. It's scary. Okay, you've done one wrong action and you got just one in return. That's okay. But sometimes are coming more than one. Sometimes are coming chain of bad reactions as a result of that bad choice, bad word or action or whatever, you know. Sometimes it's coming, it's more than just one, like a wheat, like a crop. That's a scary, but it's reality. Paul uses well-known law of botany of agriculture, that is, given seed reproduce only its own kind. We can easily see a universal law of nature. You reap what you sow. In Proverbs 22:8 says, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. In science, there is a law of cause and effect. A cause will create a corresponding effect. Now, Paul is not giving a lesson of science or agriculture here. His main point is to illustrate a spiritual law. So, the meaning of this law is simply like this. If you will live a godly life of faith and obedience to God, you will reap blessings from God. If you live a sinful lifestyle, you will reap the consequences of sin. We cannot reap good things from what is bad. You know, if you're in a relationship at home, if you're polite, kind, forgiving, gentle, what you're going to expect as a harvest of your actions? In most cases, the same. People will be, in your relationship, the other part will be kind, gentle, forgiving. But if you behave like, I don't know if I can say, without any understanding, without any feelings, without any senses, without any caring for other person, what you should expect? Sooner or later, the atmosphere will get colder and the other person will stop communicating, and slowly the marriage or relationship will start cracking, even maybe separating one day. Our actions are the consequences. Very often are not coming straight away, like you're throwing the seed into the soil. Sometimes you need to wait until the start growing and bring forth the fruit. It's similar with the way how we're sowing the good things in our life. If we sow sin, we will reap a judgment. If you sow disobedience, you will reap heartaches, conflict, wounds, shame, and pain. In Hosea chapter 10, 12 and 13, the Bible says in book of Hosea chapter 10, 12 and 13, sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity. You can see the Bible is very plain. Sow righteousness and you will reap mercy. Good seed. You know, there is a law. If you see a seed of corn, what agricultural law teaches us? What kind of plant is going to grow? Corn. Okay, it will be maybe a little bit smaller than previous one. It depends of the circumstances. Was enough water, enough sun, but will be corn, not something differently. That's a law of agriculture God created, law of the nature. And we can't change. Doesn't matter how much you pray to be a watermelon after we planted corn. Doesn't matter how spiritual you are, but you can't break that law. Sometimes we behave like that. We are not careful what action we are doing, what kind of seed we are sowing in our life. And when the trouble comes, we are going on our knees and praying for God to turn the corn into the cucumber. And God says, "What? Where is God?" But God is not reacting. He can't react because He already established the law. The law has to go that way. The consequence, He will cry with you, but He is not going to change things. Because there is a law which He said, God is not mocked. If we are expecting differently, that we are mocking God, we are putting Him in very situation which God not to be put there. For that reason, it's a law which many of them, they don't want even to accept as a real. Your life is not the result of luck, but the result of cause and effect. Everything, or most of the things in our life what's happening, there is a certain, yeah, it's a cause and effect. You are lucky. That is, according to the Bible, that is not luck. That's a worldly expression. You are not, I'm not so lucky like you. Thank you very much. You have the same, maybe, opportunities, but you have chosen differently. Maybe you have been in better situation than me. They have chosen differently. God gave us the gift of the will, and that makes us different from the all other creation. We got conscious, we got the will to choose and to communicate. Men may deceive their fellow men and may receive praise and compensation for the service which they have not rendered. But in the nature there can be no deception. You can't trick the nature. You can trick the fellow man, you can trick company, or you can trick who knows what. To receive glory for things we haven't done. But doesn't matter, you know. But you can't trick the nature. You can't say, it's dark. I can put the seed of corn, but I would like sunflower to be. It's dark. Nobody can see what I'm sowing. No, you can't do that. You can't trick the nature. But some people think that they can trick God. Trick God. One day I'll come to the church and I'll pray, or I'll ask God forgiveness, and everything will be again like nothing happened. This is not the way how things are going. One single act, positive or negative, can influence our life and life of others. Not just our life, your life. Ellen White says in Book of Education, chapter, page 109, "Do you know that by a single grain of wheat, increased by repeated sowings, would cover a whole earth with golden sheaves? So widespread be the influence of a single life or even a single act." Sometimes it's scary to think, but this is reality. One single act can create a chain of positive things or chain of negative things in your life, in your life of your child, in your family, and many other things. You don't need to be reminded of that. How one child who is abused or hurt or something like that, one life, it's damaged, can create a person with a low self-esteem, low image of self, and that can pass to the next generation the same, and in building totally new line, new chain of reaction, which many other people can suffer without, I can say, their consent. Now, I just want a couple passages. Oh, there are so many stories in our life and from the Bible. Just to prove that this is a real law which exists, and unfortunately we have to think about that seriously in our life. The practicality of this divine law. History is full of illustration of this divine law. There is a many biblical illustration. Just to brought to your attention the story of Jacob. Jacob was one of many who reaped what he saw. He was a sneaky deceiver. He deceived his father Isaac and stole his brother's blessings. You know that story of the Bible. And he was a young fellow. He was jealous of the brother's advantages, birthright. He pretended that is his brother Esau. You know, when he wanted the blessings, and he tricked his father. He was blind man that time. He was pretty old, and he dressed up like his older brother. He smelled like his older brother. He put the perfume. You know, he went to his mom, and his mom a little bit tricky as well. She cooperated with that moment. She put everything, you know, the suit and everything what was necessary. And when Jacob approached Isaac, and you know, as Isaac he couldn't see, he said, "Come close, I would like to touch you." You know, oh, says, you know, the voice is like my brother, or younger, but the body looks like my older brother, older son. And you know the story. Imagine how. How Jacob can do this, you know, sitting there for 5-10 minutes, you know, where was the conscience? But this is another story. And he deceived his father. And also he deceived his brother when his brother was very hungry. You remember when he was in trouble, he said, sell me your birthright. And Esau has a lot of reason to hate his brother, which he hates, really. And when Esau find out all the tricks what he used, he was not happy about the reaction. And Jacob, he decided to run. He needed to leave the house during the darkness of the night. He ran about 640 kilometers away from his home. Through the farm, through the field. And if you read the patriarchs and prophets, Ellen White, on the inspiration of God, says, he was shaking and running from the revenge of his brother. In every shadow of the night, Ellen White says, he was seeing the body or the hand of his brother Esau that he wanted to kill him. He was running during the night and sleeping during the day. He was a young fellow who deceived his father. And finally he reached his friend's house there. He stayed to live with his uncle Laban for several years. And he fell in love with Rachel there. You know the story. We don't have much time to read Genesis chapter 27. Read this afternoon if you have a time. He fell in love with Rachel. Rachel was beautiful daughter of Laban. And that was the youngest daughter. And Laban agreed to give her to Jacob as his bride if he would serve him how many years? 7 years. Wow, man. To work 7 years, that means that he loves Rachel a lot. He said, no problem, whatever takes. Give me the hardest job, I'll do, you know. Day and night, if you read later the story, the testimony of Jacob. Jacob. After 7 years, finally the wedding came. The bride was ready. And the morning, when the sun came up, he finds another person in his bedroom. Leah. Oh, what's happening here? He ran straight away to the Laban's tent and said, you tricked me! You tricked me! How come? I was so good to you for 7 years. I was You know, no, keen to do whatever you tell me, nothing to spare, the hardest job in the farm, and now what I've done? You know the story. Say, ah, this is not our custom. The youngest one to get married before the old one. Now you have to work another 7 years. Another 7 years. I already paid whatever needed for the bride. Why I need for another 7? You work another 7. And later on, how many times he was deceived by Laban. In Genesis chapter 29, 25. Let's read together. Genesis 29, 25. So, Genesis 29, 25. So it came to pass in the morning that behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? Cry of this young fellow, cry of his heart. I was working, I was waiting for that moment finally to get together with Rachel, love of my heart. And now, when he was so open, he was so affectionate, when he had so much in love, then suddenly he received a shock from his. He understands what it means to be deceived. He deceived his brother. But was not all, if you read the story of this man, Jacob. The way how he lived influence his children, unfortunately. A chain reaction. Jacob created a real mess in his family with the way his personality of deceiving, tricky, make tricks around. Unfortunately, he was not later on, you know, what's happened in his family. Dinah, only daughter, was raped. Joseph was sold, the youngest brother from the brothers. He never heard in the past, even among the pagans, to happen something and happen in the house of Jacob. When he was young, he was not thinking later for the consequence. He thought, no problem, everything will be, the sins of my youthhood will be forgiven or whatever. But unfortunately, he developed that tricky situation which was, and the children become aware of the way how he lived his life. And fortunately, some of the things the sons or daughters, sons, start copying or doing things to each other. What to say about King David, who sinned against his family by committing adultery and murder. As a result of his sin, he reaped turmoil in his family. He made a mess of his family as well. David, he thought, just one night stand, one pleasure, everything will be forgiven, and like nothing happened. But unfortunately, something happened. And Nathan came to David and said, God has forgiven you. But, that scary word, but something you have to know. You have to pay for fourfold. There is a consequence, David. First, Bathsheba is pregnant. She can't hide anymore. We have to deal with the kid. What we are going to do? We can't just ignore things. I've forgiven you, but there is a new life. There is a certain... The marriage problem is now. There is a consequences of your bad decision now. How we can do this? Like, we can't just put on the carpet like nothing happened. Unfortunately, that baby, when it was born, has to die. It was not that enough. For one stupid act, the whole eruption of bad consequences. His infant child died. His daughter, David's daughter, was raped by her half-brother. Her brother killed their half-brother. His own favorite son, Absalom, rebelled against him. You can see the whole chain of bad consequences. As parents, we have to be very careful what kind of seeds we are sowing in the hearts of our children. Are we teaching them heavenly principles or the worldly ones? The same law of sowing and reaping apply to them. What we sow, they will reap. It's scary, but this is a natural law. In the book of Esther, we read about Haman plotted to have Mordecai, the Jew, killed. As it turned out, Haman was executed on the very gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai. You know, sometimes circumstances can be different than we expect. Education, Ellen White, page 146. Very important statement. Ellen White says, "Terrible is the truth, and deeply should it be impressed. Every deed reacts upon the doer. Never human being but may recognize that the evil that curse his life, fruitage of his own sowing." For that reason, I just want to, before we finish, a couple more thoughts to bring to you today. First, choose the harvest you want. It's not still late to choose what kind of harvest we want. What we've done in the past is done. We can't change the past, but we can change the future. "For those who sow to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." You know, there is a consequence. If you eat unhealthy food, you will likely reap a harvest of heart disease, cancer, and other problems in many cases. Sometimes through the genes we inherit, sometimes, but in many cases, even the medicine says the consequences are coming of our lifestyle, of our choices, in many situations. That means we have to choose what kind of harvest we would like: a health body or the sick body. After it's full with all bad stuff, or healthy arteries. In many cases, we are choosing which way we are going. What kind of consequence? If you drink alcohol, sooner or later you will reap kinds of destruction, like accidents and many other things will affect your body. If you get involved in immorality, you will reap destruction of yourself and many diseases, broken homes, abortions, and many other things can happen if you live that life. The consequences are coming as a result of that decision. We can't just blame God why it happened. You know, we have to think before we got in some unhealthy relationship, before we are taking something in our body, we have to think in advance. God gave us, created with a conscience, with the power of the will. If we surrender ourselves to the Lord, then we can have a more, God will have a more control in our minds, in our then our decisions process will be more inspired by God. We usually reap later than you sow. That's one of the problems. We don't see results straight away, especially with the young people. They don't see results right away. They are putting everything in their bodies, and they are still okay. They can sleep well. They can, you know, they can jump into the car. They can drive. Doesn't matter how many alcohol, how many bottles of beer or whatever. But you know, but later on, they become addicted to that. They can't get rid, or they start affecting them. You know, sometimes the consequences are not coming straight away. The harvest doesn't come straight away. Need the time to grow. But sometimes it's very difficult to change the harvest. You know, I've been in many situations when people are crying for help. Like Danielle was running for 13 sessions, that recovery program in Vulnerable. There is several ladies there, one special, she's a Christian from other church for 20 years. She wants to get rid of some bad habits. Narcotics. She wants. But it's not easy. It's not easy. It's better to stay away as much. The second point, choose your seed wisely. Choose the harvest you want and choose your seeds wisely. This is applying maybe more to the young people today because they are making more decisions. But choose your seeds wisely. Try not to sow the seed into the flesh. Don't do sinful things. The person who sows to his own flesh ponders to its evil desires instead of letting the Spirit subdue it. Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, entertain an impure thought, or allow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company, every time when we read pornographic literature, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time when you watch a filthy movie, you are sowing to the flesh. Every time when you gossip or other bad things coming in our mouth, we are sowing in the flesh, and the consequences will come sooner or later. For that reason, Paul says, choose the seed what you are sowing, and then don't worry about harvest. Harvest will be blessing. I just want to finish with the last statement from the book of Obadiah, how you pronounce, chapter 1, verse 15. Obadiah 1:15. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. It's a difficult statement, but it's a statement we have to take into consideration. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. Do you want to reap a harvest of corruption or harvest of blessing? To reap blessing, you have to choose the right seed. Your decisions today will determine what kind of harvest you will reap. If you have been sowing to the flesh, there is just one way to avoid reaping a harvest of corruption, that is to stop sowing to the flesh. If you have done something, you have to come to the Lord Jesus with open heart, honest to Him, and repent and ask Him for forgiveness. May the Holy Spirit repair the damage which is done in our heart. And if we, because we've been without knowledge maybe in the past, maybe we've done some wrong things, maybe we taught our children differently. I know one lady in Vulnerable Chile, she's not from our church. She said she's crying always. She said, I've done something wrong when I was young to my kid. She tried all kind of the new age. She even married somebody from Africa there. Now she's a Christian. She said, my three daughters in Melbourne, they don't want to hear about church and God. That I'm guilty for that, she said. I taught them to think like that. Now she's pleading to bring them to the kid. But I said, you know, you have to be patient like God was patient with you for so many years. Doesn't go overnight. Take it easy. You are doing your part. And slowly allow the God Spirit to work on their hearts as well. We can't repair the damage what we've done in the past, but we are responsible now for our future life. Give to the Lord, repent, ask God to forgive and to heal you and the damages if there is any in our life. I thought just to bring that message to your attention, and because I think it's important for us just to continue to be faithful to the Lord. And may God help us in our decisions in our life.